The following program is paid for by the program sponsor. It's time for Energy Matters, Let's Talk, sponsored by the Conservative Energy Network. Here's your hosts, Lightner Communications General Manager Andy Kreiser and Conservative Energy Network Director of Programs and Operations, Justin Mason.
Welcome, everybody, to the May episode of Energy Matters, Let's Talk, brought to you by our friends at the Conservative Energy Network. For more information on the mission statement of the Conservative Energy Network, check them out at cen-pa.org. That's cen-pa.org. As always, today I'm on the phone with Conservative Energy Network Program Director Justin Mason, and joining us on the special hotline is Greg Weissman, who is the CEO of Luminous Solar. You can check them out at luminoussolar.com. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing, sir?
Good. All right, Justin, thanks, where do you want to kick us off in the merry month of May? Maybe you could do some wizardry and stop some of this rain in my backyard, because it seems like we've been in the month of March and April for about 12 weeks now.
Well, only if there was a solar dance you could go outside and perform as opposed to a rain dance, then perhaps we could get some more sun in the sky. But thankfully, up here where I'm at in Erie right now, the sun is shining.
I heard you're going to give me an agrivoltaics rain dance.
Well, then we might have some sheep raining from the sky, but I'm sure some folks could use some mutton on the plate around these parts. But thank you so much for today. And Greg, thank you for joining Andy and I here on another edition of Energy Matters, Let's Talk.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Excellent, sir. So what we're going to be talking about today is the recent achievement of 155 solar panels, 110 kilowatt hours of solar installation on the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau President's salad bar. So Greg and I were able to piece this project together here over the past couple of years and bring about the benefit of utilizing the Rural Energy Assistance Program USDA Solar Energy REAP grant to help President Hoffman site the solar on his farm. But there is even some challenges about that, and we'll get into that shortly. But briefly, wanted to stop and just get your thoughts, Greg. When it comes to siting solar in Pennsylvania, it's not entirely a solar-friendly state. What are the biggest barriers that you're running into when trying to site commercial or even industrial solar here in Pennsylvania, given that you operate in both realms?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So in siting the project, I mean, one obstacle that we ran into with President Hoffman's farm was we were initially doing a ground mount, and then we ran into some issues with the municipality and getting that approved. For some reason, certain municipalities are against taking up, we're not taking up a large footprint here in the ground. It was, small area that was not being used for farming purposes. But we ran into some obstacles there. So we ended up switching things, and there is a barn south-facing roof, which was ideal for solar. So that's where we ended up putting these 155 panels for Chris Hoffman's pig barn.
Excellent. Yeah, it was a great project to see come together here, because President Hoffman is the only Farm Bureau president in the nation to utilize the Rural Energy Assistance Program for a solar installation, as I currently understand it. So it's a flag in the ground for renewable energy, agriculture, Pennsylvania's energy legacy, and Luminous Solar all in one. Great achievement to see. Moving on from just that there, though, can you walk us through the economics on a project like this? What kind of payback period or operational savings would a farm similar to the commercial operation like President Hoffman have be expecting?
Sure. So without the USDA program that you were mentioning, you're typically looking at about 5 years in Pennsylvania for payback for solar. So the solar system, it carries a 25-year performance warranty. Panels will keep producing past that, looking at a 30-year useful life. So typically looking at about a 5-year payback. So then after that, 20 plus years of basically free electricity you'll be getting. When you add the USDA REAP grant on top of that, it can bring the payback down to less than 1 year. So it's really phenomenal. On top of the electric bill savings, you're also getting a minimum 30% federal investment tax credit, as well as accelerated depreciation. And you stack all those up on top of the offset against the electric rates, which obviously keep climbing with the data centers driving the cost of electricity up for everyone. It's return on a project for a solar project like this often beats anything else that a farmer or a business could do with their capital.
Greg, there's a perception that solar doesn't work well in northern climates or cloudy regions. Is that accurate? And what do people misunderstand most when they think about solar performance in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's actually one of the most persistent myths in our industry, and it's definitely wrong. So Pennsylvania gets roughly 85% of the solar resource that Florida gets. And if you look over to Europe, Germany, which has a solar industry many times the size of ours, has a climate more like Seattle than Pittsburgh. A few things that people don't realize: panels actually perform better in cool weather than in extreme heat. So our winters are an asset, not a liability. And the modern panels still produce meaningful power even on cloudy days. They just produce less than they would on a clear day. When we model a solar system in Pennsylvania, we're using 30 plus years of actual NOAA weather data for that specific location. So the economics definitely work, and they work consistently.
So Pennsylvania isn't always seen as a solar-friendly state. What are some of the biggest struggles that you run into when you're trying to site commercial and industrial solar in Pennsylvania, Greg?
So yeah, the barrier is less about sunshine. It's more about process. So the big ones are interconnection timelines. Sometimes getting a project approved to plug into the grid in Pennsylvania can take longer than the construction itself. I'd say that's the single biggest drag on commercial solar in Pennsylvania right now. And that really varies based upon from one utility to another.
So where do you feel like the solar industry is positioned in PA right now? Is it still early stages, or are we starting to hit an inflection point? Or where are we, and where do you hope to go in the next 3 to 5 years?
I'd say we're at an inflection point. 5 years ago, commercial solar in Pennsylvania was mostly early adopters, people who are going to do it regardless of the payback. Today, the conversations I have are with CFOs, farm owners, plant managers, people who are looking at their electric bills that have doubled over the last few years and asking, what's the hedge? Electricity prices in PJM, which is the grid that we sit on, they're forecast to keep rising because of data center load growth and retiring baseload plants. So that's pushing payback here down and making solar a defensive financial move, not just an environmental one. There's definitely a lot more interest in solar these days than there was years ago. And it's a different interest. It's people looking to get up control of their costs as opposed to having the electric rates getting away from them. And, you know, it's increasing significantly from 1 year to the next. I believe last year, looking at from 25 to 26, you're looking at Pennsylvania average price increase of 15 to 20% based upon what utility you were with.
So for business owners or industrial operators that are on the fence, what's the strongest case we can make to them right now for investing in solar? Is it just cost savings? Is it energy independence, a combination, or something else?
For most of my clients, it comes down to one word: control. Taking an unpredictable rising operating cost and converting it into a fixed predictable asset that you own. That's really a CFO's dream. The cost savings are real. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars over the life of the system on a project like President Hoffman's. The energy independence piece is real too, especially if you add storage. But the deepest argument in the business one, you know that your power bill is going to look like in 2030, 2035, and 2040 with solar. Your competitor who didn't install solar has no idea what those bills are going to look like. So over 25 years, that's a meaningful advantage for you versus the competition.
Absolutely. What do you got, Justin?
I would love to just capitalize on that point right there of control, of understanding foresight for where your bill will be in the future for someone in such a position like a CFO. To know that you have stability on your first line item cost of conducting business, what better insurance can you have? And assurance.
That's assurance that your rate stays affordable and insurance that's your hedge against the rising cost on electric. And that's savings you can take to the bank, my friends.
Yeah, I think we're seeing firsthand with the situation that's unfolding in Iran over the last month and a half to 2 months. And, you know, that it's a scary time in America, and it'll probably be even more scary as we go through the next 5 to 10, 15, 20 years like Greg spoke of. So the more control as an individual that you have over some of these rising costs probably would be make you feel a lot more comfortable knowing how you could plan for the future.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that up, Andy, because that's a major point that folks need to pay attention to at home right now. Energy independence is how we make energy great again. And how we make America great again is through energy dominance. So if we want to maintain our current trajectory of energy dominance of America internationally, then it starts here at home with homegrown power right in Pennsylvania. And that's why energy matters. Let's talk about it. Then that's why this show takes place.
Yeah, I think we put out a lot of great information every month when we do these segments, Justin, and I think we just put the facts out there and let people make their own determination on how they want to proceed. But I think there's a logical argument for solar and other kinds of energy resources that Pennsylvanians could adopt and push for peace of mind for years to come.
Yes, sir, because you can't make solar without natural gas. Whether you're talking base load for manufacturing or you're even talking production of the ethylene casing that 3 times seals around solar silicon cells. You need natural gas in order to make a solar panel. You need coal to make a solar panel to refine the silica. So you have solar very reliant upon fossil fuels. And that's just a case that nobody can argue when it comes down to manufacturing. So you quite literally need one for the other. So you're never going to see solar getting rid of gas and oil. That's just a very misdirected message.
We're on the line with Justin Mason from Conservative Energy Network and CEO Greg Weisman of Lumina Solar. Greg, we got about a minute and a half left. What's one last point that you would like to leave the listeners with today?
I think really just to talk about, again, taking control of your expenses going forward, taking something, you know, no one saw this increase last year of 15% to 20% in Pennsylvania on commercial utility rates. No one saw that coming, being driven by the data centers, and who knows what the future holds. A few months ago, no one saw, you know, this energy crisis we're having now because of the war with Iran. So no one knows what the future holds. Be able to get your arms around that, take control of it, lock in your electricity for the next 30 plus years at today's rate by going solar. It's really one of the most effective things you can do for your business.
Great points, Greg. Justin, we got a few seconds left before I wrap it up. What do you want to dovetail on top of that point by Greg?
The future is storage. Greg even said it briefly inside of his discourse. Storage really matters, and that's going to be the next frontier here in Pennsylvania on our grid for the PJM, for our energy independence that helps to procure our energy dominance. And I'll leave that there until the next episode that we go ahead and conduct.
Well, I think that was an awesome discussion today. That's going to wrap up our May edition of Energy Matters Let's Talk. I want to thank Justin and Greg for their feedback and their time today and remind everybody that we'll be back again the second Thursday in June for our next episode of Energy Matters Let's Talk, brought to you by our friends at the Conservative Energy Network.
You've been listening to Energy Matters Let's Talk, sponsored by the Conservative Energy Network. Tune in the second Thursday of each month at 9 a.m. on WRSC and noon on WRTA for Energy Matters Let's Talk. The preceding program has been paid for by the program sponsor.